Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 5:28 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. May corn futures up a quarter cent at 435 and three quarters. May soybeans up one and three quarters at 1187 and a half. May Chicago wheat down a quarter at 556 and three quarters. May Kansas City wheat down one at 574 and a half. May spring wheat up two and a half at 637 and a quarter. USDA put out its first crop progress report of the year yesterday. Let's start with that.
U.S. corn planting was 2% complete through Sunday. Progress was noted in only Illinois, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, and Texas. USDA did not release a soybean planting statistic. The U.S. winter wheat crop was rated 56% good to excellent, up from late November national ratings of 50% good to excellent. This was the strongest seasonal rating since 2019.
As it relates to corn planting, the only state that's got material progress is Texas. They're 57% done. Tennessee was 2% done. Illinois was 1% done. No progress noted in Indiana or Iowa. And then 2% for some of these other states, Kansas, Kentucky, and I believe Missouri. So we're just getting started here. The winter wheat rating was good. And USDA has told us that drought has been alleviated in a lot of U.S. winter wheat areas. So that's why your rating was improved since that last rating you saw in November. Looking at the weather, we do have some rain on the radar this morning over parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and areas further east. Where you really need the rain as it relates to drought relief would be west of the Mississippi, places like Iowa, Minnesota, maybe into Wisconsin, which of course is on the other side of the river, but there's still some drought concern. But this will, the dry weather, I think, in some of these areas will lead people to believe that corn planting and soybean planting will be quick. It may lead people to believe that you could see an acreage increase in corn, which I think is something people believe are going to happen anyways, given that low ball number that we saw last week. So yeah, a little bit of rain further east. You'd probably need it further west. So we're just getting going here. They did not issue a soybean planting number yesterday.
A person in Texas has been diagnosed with the bird flu. The infected individual worked at a dairy farm where some cows tested positive for the H5N1 strain of avian flu last week. It's unknown if the person contracted the disease from dead birds on the farm or from an actual dairy cow. Even though officials insisted that food supplies were safe, live and feeder cattle futures plunged on Monday. Feeder cattle futures were down as much as 750 per hundredweight, while live cattle futures saw losses reach 610 per hundredweight. This is the second case of bird flu in an individual in the U.S. It's believed that there is little risk to the general public.
Okay, so there's a big fund long across the cattle complex in both live cattle and feeder cattle. So they just get nervous and they liquidate. And we know the cattle is thinly traded and this kind of stuff happens pretty easily. Mackenzie, what's the fear here fundamentally?
I believe it all comes down to consumer perception. Obviously, this has no impact on the strong fundamentals we have going on in the industry. And they've even said, the cattle recover from this within 10 to 12 days. So it has very little impact on any cows that get infected. It all comes down to consumer perception. And in my opinion, the funds were looking for a reason to just sell off and take the market down. I think we chopped sideways for too long, and this was a reason just to get out.
So if you're a fund trader and you know you've made money in the cattle market, you're heavily long, you see a headline like that, this just may be your cue to exit. It may be your cue to exit and take money off the table if it's still there, which it probably is in a lot of instances. So I don't know. I mean, this could last. It could last longer than you think it could. This could be another day or two, or maybe that was it yesterday. I don't know, but it's not a positive thing for the cattle market by any means, and it makes the charts look very, very bad.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about your video with Pete Meyer yesterday?
Pete Meyer is our newest premium contributor. If you guys don't know Pete was a trader in Chicago for a long, long time. And then he went on to be the head of grain and oilseed research at S&P Global. So Pete worked with hedge funds and pension funds. I feel like the videos with him are absolute must-watch stuff. I feel like everything he says is something that you need to pay attention to. Among the things that we covered yesterday were the acreage report. We talked about some of the carbon stuff. One of the questions was, why would the funds cover their corn shorts? And if they do so, Pete's answer to this was very interesting, and it was not for the reason that you might think. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is the best way to support what we're doing here. We have no sponsors. We have no corporate backing. The premium subs float the boat for us. If you sign up this morning, I'll forward you a copy of this morning's email, which includes the 6 most recent premium videos, along with all my grain marketing recommendations, whole bunch of charts, graphics every single morning. Give that deal a shot today, guys.
Export prices for Russian wheat increased for the third consecutive week last week. The rise was attributed to drier than normal conditions for this season's wheat crop. According to Sovacon, Russia exported 840,000 metric tons of wheat last week, down 26% from the previous week. The consultancy lowered its estimate for wheat exports in March by 2% to 4.9 million metric tons, which is still a record for the month.
So we've got this trend kind of going on. It's a soybean and wheat thing where our competition overseas just continues to undercut us. So Russian wheat prices are up 3 weeks in a row, whatever. U.S. wheat is still overpriced by like $1.50 per bushel compared to Russian wheat. So we've got these export issues in wheat and in soybeans in particular, and it's a huge problem. The wheat market's been absolutely terrible. I mean, you're $8 off of the highs that were posted spring of 2022 following the Russia-Ukraine invasion, and you're back to like, you're not quite back to pre-COVID levels, but you're on your way. So despite the fact that Russian wheat prices have stabilized, U.S. wheat prices are not acting very good at all.
Brazil's soybean harvest continues to progress. According to well-followed private group Ag Rural, 74% of Brazil's soybean crop had been harvested as of last Thursday. At this time last year, 76% of the crop had been harvested. Recent rainfall has slowed harvest and also impacted grain quality in some regions. Ag Rural also reported that hot and dry conditions in some areas are causing concern for Brazil's second corn crop.
You wouldn't know that concern exists by looking at the corn market, which largely rejected Thursday's rally that was on the report. So the Brazilian soybean crop, 74% harvested. To give you an analogy, like to the United States, you know, by the time we're 3/4 done with harvest, we're kind of done for the most part debating the size of the crop. I mean, there's some debate, but you're kind of done debating what it is. So we're going to be out to, as it relates to soybeans, we're going to be out to trading other things, most notably U.S. weather, and then also demand. Second corn crop in Brazil is still something that could impact the marketplace. The market just doesn't see a weather threat right now the way that it stands.
U.S. corn shipments increased last week. USDA reported that corn shipments during the week ending March 28th surpassed pre-report estimates at 56 million bushels. The print was up 14% from the previous week and up 30% compared to the same week last year. Soybean shipments fell below pre-report estimates at 15 million bushels. The print declined 47% versus the prior week and was down 18% compared to the same week last year. Wheat shipments exceeded pre-report estimates at 18 million bushels. The print was up 15% from the previous week and up 196% versus the same week last year.
Yeah, the wheat number was actually pretty good. The corn number was good. The pace of corn shipments is pretty much on track-ish to hit USDA targets. Soybeans are a problem, and I wouldn't be shocked to see USDA come down with its soybean export estimate at some point in the future. I don't know if it has to be this month. Could be next month. We're just not quite where we need to be.
WTI crude oil traded to fresh 5-month highs on Monday. Reports of an Israeli missile attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria were partly responsible for the price surge. WTI rose 0.7% to close at $83.71 per barrel, its highest close since October. The reduction in oil production by OPEC Plus, at least until the second quarter, has supported prices. In the next few months, Mexico's state-run oil company plans to halt some crude exports, which could further tighten global supply. Expectations of strong global demand have also contributed to higher oil prices. Year to date, WTI is up almost 18%.
Yeah, so crude is acting much better. We've been trending higher very loosely since the beginning of the year, $85. You break out above that, like 95 or 100, and it could be game on for a number of things, for maybe commodity markets as a whole, higher gas prices, inflation, that sort of thing. When you look at the Bloomberg Commodity Index, we're still just kind of sideways-ish. If this thing could break out above 105 or so, if you guys are watching on YouTube, I got the chart up, that would look very positive for commodities, which would be a roundabout positive for your grain markets. You're just not quite there yet. We talked about cattle, but do you want to run the quotes real quick?
Definitely. So feeders were down an average of 691 yesterday. Live cattle closed an average of 491. Box beef was down yesterday. Choice ended the day at 305.74. That was down 98 cents. Select ended the day at 301.79. That was down $1.64.
Is there any indication that this is going to have a sharp impact on cash prices this week, if at all?
I think it definitely will. The markets, the futures are down. So the packers, of course, they're going to pay less for cattle. They're always looking to do that. And one other thing I wanted to mention, these cows that do get infected with this, this does not affect the milk or the meat in any way. In all regard, this should not have an impact, but I worry how much of an impact it will actually have. I think this could be a bigger deal than we realize.
It's going to be largely a money flow thing as it relates to futures, at least. Cash will be probably different than that. Outside markets on Tuesday, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are off. The S&P is down 12. Dow's down 150. Gold is up another $22 this morning. Crude oil is up $1.58 in the May WTI at $85.29. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.